come this evening to consider Catechism 73, 74 and 75. Catechism 73, which is the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. What is required in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. And what is forbidden in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth or outward estate. Again, question 73, which is the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. And question 74, what is required in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. Procuring is not a word that we maybe use very often. It simply means to get or to gather. The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and the outward estate of ourselves and others. When you think of this commandment, thou shalt not steal, you perhaps have in your mind that caricature of a thief with a mask, perhaps even a striped jersey, breaking into a house and running away with a bag of loot. You think, well, I would never do that. But it's interesting that when the Catechism helps us analyse this commandment, it shows us, first of all, the positive requirement. The commandment is given in a negative, thou shalt not steal, but that negative is given to shake you, to draw your attention, to see the ugly reality which is in contrast to that. Thou shalt not steal. The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and the outward estate of ourselves and others. It requires us to work. And not working is the same as theft. That's what we're told here. We perhaps wouldn't contrast not working and theft, or compare not working with theft, but that's the reality. We find this connection brought out in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where the apostle says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God's appointed order is that we are to work in order that we might have, that we might gain, gather, obtain. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 2. Because it speaks there of the creation mandate, the need in Eden, in paradise, for man to work. A responsibility and a privilege and a blessing was to work in order to gain and to gather, to procure and to further his wealth. Describes there God's creation, and in the midst of the creation we're told that there was precious stones and there was gold. There were good things to be enjoyed. All the trees of the garden that brought forth their fruit, it was there for the having. But in order to obtain, there must be a diligent working. We're not to refuse God's appointed order to work. Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, makes this emphasis. He says, when even we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then, that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Regardless of what others will do, you do right. Work, and through your working, you are to enjoy the benefits of that and you are to give and to share and to be generous. There is an obligation upon us to apply ourselves positively, to give ourselves, not only for our personal advantage, but also for others. The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. And so in Eden. But not only in paradise was work given in order that man may be enriched and enjoy, but even after the fall. So in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord comes and rebukes Adam for his rebellion, he says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat." Now there in the context of the curse, there's this repeated emphasis that you will still eat if you work. Work is now hard. Work is now has a frustration built in. There's troubles and trials that didn't exist before, but yet this great principle abides. That you will procure, you will gain and gather, you will have if you work diligently. And it's not simply speaking about employment, but it's about how you use your time and your resources. This is 9 to 5. This is 24/7. This is from your earliest days until your final day. The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. It says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 21 that drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags, because the drowsy man is not a diligent man, he does not work, and because he does not work, he does not gain. And it is to his own shame and his own confusion. Proverbs chapter 10, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. In Timothy, Paul writes, "If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." We are to further the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. That means our own family. It means the household of faith. It means our neighbours. It means whoever we encounter in this life. The commandment made very clear in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel that they were to embrace the stranger, those who were sojourning in their land, those who came and sought refuge in their land. They were to care for the poor and for the fatherless and those who could not provide for themselves. You were to work so that you might be generous, so that you might have the privilege of giving. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, said, "I have showed you all things, how that so labouring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That you might know this rich blessing, the Lord requires that you work, and by working you will not be stealing." That's how you fulfill, or that's a part of how you fulfill the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. And how do you not steal? Will you give yourself to work and to labour faithfully so that you might gain and gather, so that you might provide and you might share and you might prosper? You're not only to labour so that you are enriched so you can then generously give, but you're to work so that others would prosper. So if you are employed, you're to earn your own wage, but you're to work with a diligence so that your employer prospers. You know, you shouldn't be able to tell the difference between the employee and the owner. I know sometimes, and you might go into a business and you're dealt with so poorly that you come away thinking, well, that fellow, he doesn't own the business. He doesn't care. He's sloppy and he's indifferent. Whereas the person who owns a business, who's invested in it, will give a better service because they want the business to prosper. But we have a responsibility to procure and further the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. So we're not to be ashamed or to be reluctant to have someone else prosper as a result of our labour. It doesn't mean that we are to be slaves who do not receive an honest day's wage. But receiving an honest day's wage, we are to be happy and prepared to give an honest day's work. I remember many years ago now seeing a fellow with a t-shirt which said, I enjoy work much more now they've invented Facebook. And it was just a silly t-shirt. But the message of the t-shirt was this: I enjoy work because I can go to work and I can do my own thing on my computer. That's theft. That's wrong. That's not faithful to God nor to man. The eighth commandment, which is, thou shalt not steal, the eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and the furthering the wealth and the outward estate of ourselves and others. Wealth is not wrong, but the love of money, that is wrong. Or anything that might be considered ill-gotten gains. We use that expression easily, don't we? His ill-gotten gains. But anything that does not come through diligent, faithful work or by the gracious gift of another. Is not gained honestly. The message of society is if you work hard today, you'll be able to spend and enjoy your retirement. Spend all your wealth, indulge yourself, live it up. But friends, there is an ongoing duty to keep this commandment. Before you enter the working world, when you're part of the working world in terms of employment, and also afterward, you're to be industrious. Not rejecting the concept of pensions, which is wise financial management. But the reward of your labour is not something that's going to be ultimately enjoyed in this life, but in the life that is to come. This life is to be spent procuring and furthering the wealth and the outward estate of ourselves and others. Or the lawful procuring. That means it must be righteous in the sight of God. So, for example, we must pay our taxes. We must complete that full day's work for that full day's wages. It means that we're not to benefit from gambling. Because gambling, it promises you the reward without having to do the work. And it means that the person who wins does so at the expense of everyone else who loses. So gambling may create one winner, but there are many losers. But honest work means everyone wins. When there's honest work, there's no losers, because the person who commissioned the work wins because the work is done. And the person that does the work wins because the a wage is earned, and the person who they share that with wins. So honest work means everyone wins. The eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward estate of ourselves and others. But then, question 75, what is forbidden in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth or outward estate. What does the eighth commandment forbid? Whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth or outward estate. So we're not to take what is not our own. Because if you take what is not your own, you are harming someone. There is no such thing as a victimless crime. There's lots of petty theft, which is described as being victimless crime, and it's described as being petty theft because no one's really hurt. It's just a little thing that's taken, or it's taken from such a vast organisation that the shareholders are so far removed that they do not notice the difference. But whether they notice the difference or not, theft is a wrong against the lawful owner. But it is also a wrong against the Lord himself. And it is also a wrong against yourself. The eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth or outward estate. You know, we, as a society, make a hero out of the Robin Hood character who robs the rich to give to the poor. And that story appeals to our sense of justice, and it achieves what we would all incline toward, I suspect. But we're not to be generous with someone else's wealth. You're not to be generous with someone else's wealth, but rather you're to be generous with your own wealth. It's interesting, isn't it? There's anti-capitalist protesters who would actually be considered to be amongst the wealthy of the world by the majority of the world, because although they may not be amongst the top earners in society, our society, they will almost inevitably be those who have eaten a meal and know where tomorrow's meal is coming from. Because in our society, so many people have food in the cupboard, food to spare, and across the world there are thousands and there are millions who live from hand to mouth, and would see these people themselves as rich, and yet they may be out protesting about the wealth that others have and how that is being abused. There may be issues with excessive wealth in our society. There may be injustices. There will be injustices. But we must begin with ourselves and not sit like the hypocrite, pointing at others. You hear the prayer in Proverbs chapter 30. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. We can understand that. We don't want to be in either extreme. It's not that the poor person's entitled to steal, but we would understand why they're tempted to steal. But we must not take what does not belong to us. Two wrongs do not make a right. And you might say, well, I have so little, and these individuals have so much. What difference does my little make? Don't despise or neglect the significance of one person's faithfulness. The Lord calls you to be faithful. The Lord calls you to be faithful with what you have. You've been entrusted with so much, not with what someone else has been entrusted with. They're accountable for that, but you're accountable in your own situation. And there is a principle, not a principle which is we see fulfilled absolutely in this life, but there is a principle in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we see that general principle being worked out. It is an absolute principle in that it will be worked out in eternity. What we sow is what we reap. There are consequences to our actions and to our behaviour. Oh, we praise God for his grace that we're delivered from sin. But yet, if we will stand before God outside of Christ, we shall reap in eternity what we sow in time. And yet the Lord also to teach us and to chastise us and to nurture us and to encourage us will allow us to experience in general terms this principle of what we sow, we shall also reap. And so we're commanded not to steal. And that means that we are to be involved in a lawful procuring and the furthering the wealth and the outward estate of ourselves and others. And it also means that we're forbidden whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth or outward estate. Not only are we forbidden to take away from someone, but we're also forbidden from holding back. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Don't hold back. Don't despise. Don't sit in judgment, but rather give yourself to a life of diligent, faithful service, knowing that God is wise. And ultimately, you will not lose from it, and God will be glorified. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. And the eighth commandment requireth the lawful procuring and the furthering the wealth and the outward estate of ourselves and others. And the eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever doth or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbour's wealth or outward estate. Amen.